Thanks, Doris. If you know the NBA, you know what that phrase means. It's how players like LeBron James and Steph Curry end their post-game interviews with Doris Burke, a sign of the immense respect for the longtime ESPN analyst. It also symbolizes the trail she's blazed for women in media and in basketball. From the time she called her first Big East men's game, Doris has been opening doors for women and changing the way people see and hear women in the game. 2 years ago, she became the first woman to win the Kurt Gowdy Award for Outstanding Contributions to the Game of Basketball. Players and media alike admire her work. Fans love her. Drake even has a shirt with her face on it. She doesn't think she's a big deal, but everyone else does. From USA Today, I'm Nancy Armour, and this is how Doris Burke is changing the game.
Changing the Game is brought to you by Artistry Studio exclusively from Amway. In a world of same, Artistry Studio goes against the grain by setting you up with multitasking, simple, affordable makeup and skin solutions designed for whatever adventure life takes you on. Follow us on Instagram at ArtistryUS to learn more about Artistry Studio.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, 15% off your first order with code WONDERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Doris Burke. I am currently at my home in Wakefield, Rhode Island, on the Rhode Island shore, and I am an NBA analyst for ESPN.
Basketball's been a part of your life since you were a kid. Have you thought about how different your life would be had you not picked up a basketball? Or if your family had lived next to, I don't know, a fishing hole? Rather than a park with a basketball hoop?
It's hard for me to imagine my life without the game of basketball. It's become a lifelong passion, something I've played or coached or commentated on since I was 7 years old. So I don't give much thought to what my life would be without it. I can tell you I'm incredibly thankful for it in my life.
You led Providence in assists in 3 of your 4 years there, and you're still second on their all-time list. Did you ever think about playing overseas? Or what you might have done had the WNBA existed then?
Yeah, I actually had the opportunity to go overseas. But how about this? In the final 10 minutes of the final game of my senior season, I blew out my knee. I tore both the anterior and medial collateral. And as you know, surgery back then for that type of injury was drastically different. And I was forced to make a decision in a very short span of time whether to rehabilitate and try to go grind it out overseas, and elected not to. But that's the one part of my life where I wonder, had the timing of that injury, been a year earlier, I could have rehabbed, been a senior healthy all the way through. Would I have taken that opportunity to go overseas and maybe hung in there long enough for the WNBA? Nancy, I always say this, it's been women's basketball, whether it was women's college basketball at first through the Big East and NESN, New England Sports Network, And then also my first really big break in becoming the radio announcer for the New York Liberty in 1997, putting me in a major media market at a network that was so far ahead of its time at that moment, MSG. Without women's basketball, there is no way I'm occupying the current position I have. So, you know, again, I always go back to divine providence. I feel like I've been really, really lucky in terms of my timing, in terms of doors opening at the right time, in terms of some women who had conducted themselves in such incredibly professional, competent fashion that doors were opened for me.
You actually got into coaching when you finished playing. How hard was it to give that up for broadcasting?
Yeah, well, number one, I didn't give up coaching for broadcasting. I gave up coaching because I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And that was a difficult choice, obviously. But I did not think my days at Providence College as an assistant basketball coach were starting at about 7 a.m. and they were ending about 9:30. So you were doing individual instruction with players at that time in the mornings before classes or around classes. And not that you went 7 to 9:30 every day, but inevitably your recruiting calls were late at night. And then you're, you know, documenting what happened in those recruiting calls. And I just thought to myself, it would be very challenging for me to be both, you know, a mom and a coach. And believe me, there were examples at the time, and Pat Summitt comes to mind immediately, of women who were pulling both of those roles off gracefully. I just did not think that was the right choice for me. But I will tell you this, from the moment I left coaching till this day, I miss that. And I miss it for this reason. There were far too many times in my life, probably, Nancy, where too much of my self-worth and my value was determined by my success between the lines. And, you know, for whatever reason, that was the case. And I miss tremendously the opportunity to have worked with young women and to see, you know, just sort of how meaningful it is to connect with somebody in that way, to see them improve their skills, to see that translate to success between the lines, and to see the powerful impact that has once they step outside the lines. So I feel lucky. I love my job and I'm so very happy. There may be a day where when I retire from this, I might coach a small Catholic school girls team or a high school team. Who knows? I don't know what the next iteration of my career is, but in the back of my head, that's always there as a possibility.
I feel like you hear that from a lot of people, that their careers are in some ways because of happenstance. But you also have to recognize your opportunities and take advantage of them. As those were coming to you, were you conscious of that? Or is it something that now, as you look back, you think, oh, I'm so glad I did that. Or I'm so glad I didn't overthink it and miss that chance.
I have had some women come up to me periodically and thank me, and I feel a little bit uncomfortable. I mean, I appreciate that they appreciate the job that I do, certainly, because all of us, the most important evaluators besides ourselves and our bosses, obviously, are our peers, those who know the job we do, what's required of the job, you know, what goes into being competent and all of those things. But this wasn't a path I consciously took. This was a career that unfolded over the course of, and I, you know, you made me laugh when you said I've been doing it for nearly 30 years because it's, I haven't really considered that length of time, but I just really, and I said this over and over and I say it to young broadcasters, the thing I did the entire time I was in the business was just lock in on the game that was directly next on my schedule, do the absolute best job in terms of preparation, and then once you're on the air, to try to help the viewer enjoy the telecast as much as you're enjoying the game. That's kind of how I focused. I think had I, Nancy, considered over the course of time the moments where maybe I was the first woman to do this or that, it would have scared the absolute daylights out of me. And so I think sort of keeping my focus narrow has been especially good for me.
I often say that my whole career has been a happy accident. I didn't grow up wanting to be a sports writer. In fact, I thought I was going to be a White House correspondent. But you kind of go where life leads you. It seems as if there might be something to that, to not overthinking things. Not that you shouldn't have a plan, But you shouldn't let that plan be bigger than what's right in front of you.
Right, because when I look back and consider what turned out to be some, you know, pretty big breaks, you would look at it and maybe somebody might think, well, that's not a very good job. And I'll give you a for instance, you know, when I mentioned 1997 and being the radio announcer for the New York Liberty, I mean, did I have 10 listeners? I'm not sure I could claim that. But the fact of the matter is, David Stern at the time had decided to put those women's games, those WNBA broadcasts on hold at the NBA offices. And I guess my point is there's no job that's too big or too small. You never know who's watching. And you're also honing your craft in probably the perfect place to hone your craft. And so I would just say, whatever opportunities in front of you, just focus on it. Because you're right. I think to try to consciously plan it out could lead to disappointment or too much emotional energy, Nancy, invested in jobs maybe or opportunities that you didn't get. So waste of time to do that.
When you started broadcasting, pretty much everything you were doing was a first. How conscious were you of that? Or was it, again, one of those things you just can't think about when you're in the moment?
You know, so I didn't consider it at the time, and there wasn't the media coverage at the time. And so another big break that I had, again, and it really was as a result of the WNBA. I think it was maybe 99 or 2000. I'm not going to have the year 100% correct. Was Bob Stites, whose father was a big driver behind getting the three-point line in college basketball. Bob at the time was an associate commissioner of the Atlantic 10. Linda Bruno was one of the rare women in charge of a major athletic conference. And Bob Stites tells me this story, and I've told it quite often. Bob Stites had three analysts in mind for his men's college basketball package. The Atlantic 10 was not the Big East. They were always scrapping and clawing for respect. But Bob had three analysts, and he went to Mike Breen, and he said, Mike, who do you think is the best? Who do you think I should hire? I think maybe his terminology was, who do you think I should hire? He goes, well, because if you're asking me the best analyst, it's Doris. He goes, but I'm not sure you want to go tell your coaches you're hiring her. Not that Mike Breen was opposed to it, but he knew what the implications could be. And Bob Stites had an intrepid enough spirit to go ahead and hire me. And for 2 years, I was the lead analyst on the Atlantic 10. And at the time, I didn't know how important that was. Just like I didn't know Mike McCarthy hiring for me at Madison Square Garden and allowing me, because he believed in my abilities, to do Knicks on radio and to one time fill in for Clyde Frazier. Like, that took some guts from those two men. And I always say this, society's not going to change without both genders participating in this. And I've said this often, it's a very profound thing when you see the way NBA coaches and players respond to me. It's really kind of taken other people to say, boy, you know, it's clear, it's apparent that there's mutual respect there. And that's a very powerful thing that goes out, you know, to the casual fan. And it's a bunch of small little acts, you know, that contribute to growth.
We'll be right back.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Was it hard to advocate for yourself?
Because I feel like most women, when we get opportunities, we're so grateful for them that maybe we sell ourselves short or we don't ask for more. But you didn't do that. You said, yes, I'll take this opportunity, but I still want to keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I struggle with it. I mean, when Doug Collins left and went back to the Chicago Bulls organization, I was not going to make the call to my boss to say, I want those games. I wanted them, and I wanted them desperately. And I believed I had earned them. And not that there weren't other great candidates for the position. There absolutely were. And had they gone in a different direction, I'm sure that person would have been 100% confident and great and would have brought different perspective. And I needed the encouragement of a male colleague to say, you've got to make it known. And it was Jeff Van Gundy who said it. I've told the story before. And I made the call. And I'm going to tell you the truth. And for your listeners, you know, it is scary. My heart was pounding. The person I was calling has been a boss and a colleague and become a friend. And I'd known him for 10 years, or actually more than that. And it was still the heart pounding, you know, sweating. I'm terrified to make this call. But with a little bit of encouragement, I made the call and I'm glad I did.
Is that something that you've seen in this next generation of women? Not that it's not scary for them, but it seems as if the younger women are more willing to advocate for themselves, to say, yeah, there's no reason I shouldn't be able to do this.
I love it. I just love their intrepid spirit, their confidence to know that they belong. And listen, there's whatever gender you're talking about, we all are, you know, suffer from some of the insecurities of being human beings. It's not a gender specific problem. I do think my daughter and I were recently having this discussion, you know, how different is it in a classroom? There's been studies done how a young girl is treated versus how a young boy is treated, what's encouraged versus what's discouraged. And but I do feel as though this next generation of sportscasters is more confident in their ability to advocate for themselves. And I say, amen, like, you know, believe in yourself, believe in your commitment and your passion and your work habits to be confident. And also, like, don't be afraid to take a job that maybe you're not 100% prepared for, because I think you can learn whatever you don't know. I didn't have a broadcasting background. I did not study communications. I didn't go to Syracuse or Missouri, these incredible, incredible programs that just get these young broadcasters so prepared. I love them and I admire those programs. But I had to learn on the job. And, you know, I made mistakes. I remember my first game, Nancy. You know, I didn't look at the camera. I was like, I don't want to look at that camera. I see that red light going on and it's scaring me. But, you know, you figure it out eventually and you come to understand which cameras are, you know, capturing which angle and when the appropriate time to lay out in a telecast is. You know, those are all things that you can only, you know, really understand the nuance the longer you do it.
So I'm going to switch gears here for a little bit. We know that NBA players and coaches are big fans of yours. But let's talk about Drake, because he is a huge fan. He's asked you out to dinner. And back in 2016, he showed up at a Raptors game wearing a shirt with your face on it that said Woman Crush Every Day.
You know, I remember distinctly where I was when on the night Drake wore the shirt. I was at my daughter's apartment. She was a law student at Villanova, and we were both cooking dinner together. And a colleague of mine who was in Toronto texted me and said, the internet's about to blow up and you're the cause. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he said, just switch on the game. And that's sort of when the night unfolded. And my daughter looked at me and I was sort of stunned. But she, as time wore on, say in the next 48, 72 hours, she's like, I don't think you really understand exactly how big a star this man is. And what him wearing that shirt means. And it's funny, Nancy, at the time I had never met Drake. And at the first opportunity, which maybe came a full year later, because we, you know, were up in Toronto a few times a year, but I'm not always the broadcaster calling that game. And I distinctly remember saying to him, I don't think this was your intention, but I do appreciate the gesture, because going back to the point I made earlier, you acknowledging the fact that I do a competent job at what I do and that you enjoy listening to me further changes a casual viewer's perspective on the work that I do. I don't know that I understood the power of his stardom. And certainly, you know, I've come to understand that aspect of it, because the reaction to that was truly, I mean, just extraordinary. And he was just very kind. He was really kind. And he said, I really enjoy your work, or whatever exactly he had said to me that night. But I did want him to know I appreciated the fact that, you know, he said it, and or Kevin Durant or any of these guys, it means something, and I appreciate it.
How important is that? My oldest nephew is obsessed with NBA 2K, and I remember watching him play one day and hearing you calling the game. And I said something to him about how cool that was, and he looked at me like, what's the big deal? Because to him and this whole generation of kids, it's not. They've always known you to be on TV, calling and working the NBA's biggest games. They've always known Rachel Nichols to have her own show on ESPN. To them, this is all normal.
It's agreed, and it's why I take such joy in the younger generation of men, like, you know, from Drake and then, you know, going down. And I'll never forget, there's one moment that stands out in my history. I was doing the biggest tournament, men's basketball. So this has been over a decade ago. And I was walking on the baseline, but I had my earphones in, and there was a group of young boys. I'm going to guess they were maybe 10 to 12, and they were at the biggest tournament. And I did not hear them trying to get my attention. And this woman who works there, Joe, and everybody knows her. And she actually stopped me and said, you need to go back. There's about 10 to 15 young little boys who want to say hello to you. So I pulled my, you know, earphones out immediately and went back. And I'm high-fiving them and talking to them and chatting about the game. And I distinctly remember that moment. And I've gone back to it a million times, because for me, it almost signaled this fundamental change in the level of acceptance. I'm going to give you one more, because it's a guy that all of us know and love, Jim O'Connell, longtime AP writer for men's college basketball. He, too, at a different Big East men's tournament, said to me one time, he said, I'd like to say something to you. And I said, okay, what do you got? And he's like, you know, when I first heard you, I thought, what's she doing here? He goes, and then I listened. And he goes, and you're good. And I just remember thinking, I just remember smiling, because that was a man of a certain generation who probably it was very foreign to their ears. And it would be sort of a moment to recoil. And for Ak, somebody that everybody loved and that respected, again, there are these little moments that I'll look back on and just know, okay, you know, this was good. This was really good.
Skylar Diggins has talked about playing an entire season while she was pregnant and feeling as if she had to hide it. The fact that women still feel like they have to choose between a playing career and having a family, that they're still having these fears, how frustrating is that?
Yeah, I remember reacting strongly to that and thinking, boy, that should not be. We should in no way, shape, or form have to hide what is one of the most miraculous experiences of our lives. And I just felt sort of both angry and sadness that she felt that way. And I think it speaks directly to the progress we still have to make in society. We're all faced with this pandemic. And to get an understanding quickly that African Americans are suffering to a greater degree, that those people losing their jobs, women are being more adversely affected. How is it that we come to a place where there's equity across gender, across race, across name a differentiating factor? And it goes back to what I said earlier. We've made progress. We haven't made as much or as fast a progress as any of us would have hoped.
It's interesting to watch the NBA and WNBA because both have really taken the lead in terms of social justice and equity. The NBA was the first league to have female referees, and there are a ton of women on coaching staffs now. It'll probably be the first men's league to have a woman as a head coach. And then with the WNBA, its players have been calling out police brutality against people of color since the summer of 2016. Why did these two leagues get it? And how do we get everybody else to get on board with what they've seen for so long?
I think it goes directly to leadership. And forgive me for going back to this place, but it was why in my speech at the Hall of Fame, I directly referenced David Stern and Adam Silver. They are the single most open-minded, progressive, forward-thinking league in the country. And not only that, they encourage their athletes to directly involve themselves in societal matters that matter. And I have such admiration for David Stern and for Adam, because I know how profoundly influential, like, think about it. If they objected to my presence as an NBA announcer, I'm not saying ESPN wouldn't hire me, but certainly as a co-partner, you would be hearing the message. And I just remember distinctly thanking David and him coming up to me post, and he thanked me for the mention. I said, no, no, no. I said, I know what you said to my bosses about my work, and it means a great deal to me. And the same thing for Adam Silver, you know, one of the first people to reach out to me when I, you know, announced that I was COVID-19 positive was Adam Silver. I don't know. I think you have to look at the leadership, and you have to have that support from the top. And I think NBA and WNBA players feel that level of support. And I love it. I absolutely love it.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
What is the one thing that you most hope to see women achieve in sports in your lifetime?
Boy, one thing. I don't know if there's one thing. I think honestly, like much of progress, it's going to be small steps that are achieved. You know, you see the increase in women on sidelines in the NBA. We've finally broken through to a certain extent in the NFL, which to me seems like it's the last bastion. I don't know. I would point to one thing, Nancy. I would say that we're all going to have to persevere and be as professional, as competent as possible, because it's going to continue to be baby steps, but they're steps that have to be made. And you got to grind and face disappointment and prejudice and all of those things. And still, you know, like Michelle Obama always says, you know, just keep going high, just keep going high. And I know I'll see progress. I know I will. What, how quickly and what form that takes, you know, I don't know. I remember the day that Adam Silver, and this is going back several years, the day he said, I want to see a female head coach in the NBA sooner rather than later. And I, you know, I could feel a little bit of subtle pushback on that. And you understand, right? Like, to me, he was trying to accelerate a process that had taken far too long to start. And so he was sending a message, you know, because all of us, regardless of the profession we're in, there's a growth process, right? Nancy, you didn't turn into a polished writer with the first entry you made. You probably look,
God, no.
Right? You look back on some things and think, boy, you know, with the additional perspective I have, I would have done X, Y, and Z. Like, there's a process to this evolution. And, you know, I briefly saw Kara Lawson, our former coworker at ESPN, who's immensely talented and who I think will be a coach in the NBA someday. And I was reminded of something because, she had just left broadcasting. It's her first summer league, and we're passing in the tunnel in Las Vegas. And she said to me, "I'm going to be a head coach in the NBA someday." And I said, "I have no doubt." And I have to go back to something she said when she was a WNBA player. She was a rookie in Sacramento, Nancy, and she wasn't getting much playing time. And I could tell it hurt her. Like, she was, the competitive spirit was flowing, and she was pissed, basically, that she's not playing. And she pulled me aside because I had called her college basketball games at Tennessee, and she said, "I will be a player in this league." And I can't remember if she made an all-star team, but I know she's a WNBA champion. She's an Olympic gold medalist. And she went after it. And she went after it hard, and she went after it with great work habits and excellence. And I have no doubt, as an assistant coach for the Boston Celtics, just like every other woman who's an assistant in the NBA, they are getting after it and they're making progress. And I'm thankful to those women for that pursuit, for the Katie Nolans and the Mina Kimes and all these women who are pushing. And I just say, keep pushing.
Next time on Changing the Game.
It's just this like pure form of adrenaline and joy and excitement. And really, it's just the feeling of the trick when you like fully extend something and you're weightless for those couple of seconds it's just that bliss that we really all chase when we do these things.
Changing the Game is a production of USA Today and is distributed in partnership with Amway and Wondery. You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. And if you like the episode, please rate and review the show. And tell your friends about us. Our episode today was reported and produced by Taylor Macon, Phil Corbett, Rose Gilbert, and me, Nancy Armour. Our editor is Peter Barzilai. Original music and mixing is by Hannes Brown. I'm Nancy Armour. Thanks for listening.
This is Rick DiCecca, Creative Director of Makeup Design for Artistry North America, with an easy game plan to achieving a microbladed brow effect without the microblading. Lay the Artistry Studio Tokyo Edition Power Brow Pen along the side of your nose, lining it up with the inner corner of your eyes. Use this line as a guide for the beginning of your brow. Fill in the brows with the Artistry Studio Tokyo Edition Power Brow Pen in Ginza Chai Latte, a light brown, or Ginza Cocoa, a dark brown. Using the tip to create your desired brow shape and the articulated side of the applicator to fill in and create the look of brow hairs by using short, quick strokes. To add depth to the look of your brows, alternate the shades by using the Ginza Cocoa dark brown shade at the beginning of your brow, the Ginza Chai Latte, the light brown shade in the center of your brow, and repeat the dark brown Ginza Cocoa shade on the tail. Artistry Studio, exclusively from Amway.